surprised when you're home tonight.
Some of you, I know not everybody, myself included, will have kiddos asking us that, but those kids look pretty ferocious, so I would not want to let them down by not knowing the answer to that question, how Jesus is like a piece of fruit. So that's what we're going to do tonight, shortly, I promise. I've prepared brief remarks for this evening, but we're going to try to tackle that question so that when the kids ask us later tonight, we know what to say. So how about you stand, if you would, for the reading of the scripture that's going to help get to the bottom of that question. We're in 1 Corinthians 15. We've already been there a little bit tonight in the reading we did earlier, but now we're going to fast forward ahead to verse 20. We're looking at three verses. This is God's word. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says this: "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." This is God's word. Thanks be to him. Let's pray. Father, I ask and pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. God, we're thankful that we can have our kids with us this evening in church, and we just pray that all of this would be honoring to you. Your scripture read, but even the voices of our children, their laughs, their cries even sometimes. God, it reminds us that we are a family, a covenant family, and we pray that it would bring you honor and glory tonight. We pray in the name of the risen Jesus. Amen. 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 Go ahead and be seated. All right, so you saw the word in that scripture reading. At least I hope you did, if you're paying attention. I kind of made it a little simpler, though, for our kids. I limited it just to fruit, but you saw from the passage we read that it's a more compound word. It is what kind of fruit? First fruit. First fruit. That's right, Cody. So we did a series not too long ago on the Feast of the Old Testament, and that word came up multiple times in some of the feasts that we look at. We even had a feast that was called the Feast of First Fruits. And I told you guys then, I'm going to repeat it again tonight, that that word is very simple to understand. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is the first fruit of the harvest. It's the first tomato on the vine, or the first peach on the branch. That first, Charlie, where are you at? Remember the mandarin orange you told me about? The first one that comes on the tree? That's the first fruit. I'm sorry, you look really confused. I won't call you out again, I swear. That is what the first fruit is. And in biblical understanding, the first fruit was the most valuable and precious of all. That's why when God's people were called to give him tithes and offerings, they were said to bring the first fruit to the Lord, because it was the most precious. Now, what happens, though, is that idea that's so prevalent in the Old Testament, it continues throughout the Bible and it shows up again in the New Testament, but this time in a very unexpected and cool way. On Easter morning, when Jesus comes forth in victory from the tomb, the writers of the Bible begin to refer to him as the first fruits of the dead. That's what our text said tonight. Actually, Jess, could you go backwards to that, the passage, just so they can see it again? "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Those who have fallen asleep there is a euphemism. It's a nice way of saying those who have died. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that Jesus is the first fruits, the beginning of those who will rise again from the dead. He says it down below too in verse 23, "each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he comes first, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." So when the Apostle Paul looks at Easter morning, when he looks at the empty tomb, when he looks at the risen Jesus who has conquered death, what he sees is that first tomato on the vine, that first peach on the branch. He sees Christ as the first fruits of what's to come. That's the thing about fruit. When you see one of them, that usually is the signal that a lot more are on the way. I know that's not always the case. If you're a gardener like I am, it's probably not the case. My first tomato harvest was one tiny malformed tomato that never went from this nasty greenish brown hue. So that doesn't always happen, but more often than not, when you see the first fruit of the season, that is a harbinger. It is a signal that there is way more fruit on the way. Now, there is a tree at my house, or more accurately, a vine at my house. That's a perfect demonstration of this. I've got pictures. I'm all in the show and tell mood today, guys. Tara, I see you back there as a teacher. Are you giving me the thumbs up on the show and tell? Yes. So what is this right here that I've got a picture of? That's right, wisteria. So this is a little vine that's on the post by my front door. And this week was the first time that this particular vine had begun to flower. So this is the very first flower of the wisteria. I love the way that wisteria flowers like that. It right now just looks like a collection of sticks with that one little flower. But here's the next picture. This is what it will look like given time. And that's not my front door, by the way. So don't want to be misleading and say that's what it will look like. But if you came to visit me last summer, you know, and Heckmans, you know, you used to live in this house. That wisteria vine goes nuts during the summer. And if there's ever a time that you guys don't hear from me for 3 or 4 days or I'm not returning text, chances are my wisteria has trapped me inside my house and I need somebody to come rescue me. It's that aggressive and grows so quickly. So, Jess, could you go back to that other picture? This one little flower, the first flower of the season, is a signal that pretty soon that entire vine is going to explode in flowers and leaves and growth. More is on the way. So if the Bible, like we read tonight, when it talks about Jesus, the risen Jesus on Easter Sunday, it refers to him as the first fruits. What is it saying? It's saying that Easter is only the beginning. Easter is the first fruit of a harvest that's coming. That's greater than any of us can probably even imagine and anticipate. And we get to see the sneak peek of it in the risen Christ. What we see in Jesus is our future. Sometimes I think that I limit my understanding and my celebration of Easter purely in the past. But what I mean by that is I think of it as Jesus rose from the grave all those years ago. He defeated sin and death all those years ago. Way back when he conquered it all and was declared to be the Son of God. But I fail to see that in fact, Easter is actually a sneak preview of what my future holds and what your future holds. And when we behold the empty tomb on Easter, as we've done all throughout the day today, we are looking into our glorious hope. That same resurrection body of Christ, that same conquering of sin and death is what's in store for anybody who clings to him in faith. Do you realize that? When you look at him on Easter, you're looking at your future. And I was thinking about that this weekend. I wanted to be careful with how I say that. I'm not suggesting that you will be exalted to be the same as Christ and glory and honor. No, Jesus Christ will always be glorified higher than us creatures. But what I am trying to say is what he showed you in his resurrection body is what's in store for you. I know I'm losing the room here a little bit, so I need to wrap up. But just so I make sure that you realize the ramifications of this, let me get specific. What is in store for you in the future is a future without cancer, without coronavirus, without sickness and death, without Alzheimer's, without Lyme's disease. It's a future where bones don't break and tendons don't snap. It's a future where there is no grief and despair and sorrow or envy or jealousy or strife. It's a future where sin is defeated so that no longer will it be the case that I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I do want to do. Our future is one where death, that sword that hangs over us, has no home. That's what the Bible means when it talks about Jesus being the first fruits of what's to come. So guys, The question that you have tonight, how is Jesus like a piece of fruit? How are you going to answer it? I'm going to give you the cheat sheet. Jesus is like a piece of fruit because there's more on the way. Not more Jesus's, but more of what he signals in his resurrection power. You get to experience, I get to experience, and you get to tell your kids when they ask you tonight that that's what their future is too. How about we do it one more time? He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Let's pray.
Father, thank you so much that what we see in Jesus is not an event that's ramifications are over and done with, but it's still that sneak peek, that sneak preview of what's on the way for all of us and for all of creation. We thank you and we praise you in the name of the risen Son, Jesus. Amen.